Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Ramadan Nights on Al-Bayan Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to Ramadan Nights on night number 3 of Ramadan, 1444 after the blessed Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm your host Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear brother, my dear Sheikh Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah, Sheikh. How
are
you?
It's good to have you back. Wallah, I'm doing well, alhamdulillah.
Allah barik.
It's good to have you back live here in Al-Bayan Radio.
Always a pleasure.
And how has your first few days of fasting been?
Alhamdulillah, it's been good, Sheikh.
Two down, 28 or 27 to go, inshallah.
Inshallah. If you start counting from now, it's a problem.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah allow us to benefit from this month and allow us to benefit from many more Ramadans, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala.
Ameen.
Sheikh, before we get into the topic, I'd like to remind our listeners and viewers, those watching on our YouTube channel or listening on Al-Bayan Radio app, you can contribute, you can give us your input tonight. Inshallah, we'll be checking our devices and our accounts throughout the program. You can call in or you can SMS WhatsApp on 0481-342-582. 0481-342-582. Send us an SMS or a WhatsApp message and we'll try to get to it. Or also leave your comments on Facebook, ISWJ Australia page, and on the YouTube stream there for those who are watching live. And inshallah, we'll try to get to your comments, feedback, and suggestions. Now, Sheikh, the topic today is a very nice topic. Things exclusive for this ummah in the hereafter.
Nah.
A beautiful topic. Why did you choose this topic?
Bismillah walhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihuda amma ba'd. Regarding this question, Sheikh, as to why we chose this particular topic tonight, to put it simply, it is because this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we ask Allah to make us part of it, we need that motivation and encouragement that teaches us as to why this ummah is considered to be the best of nations. So us being Muslims, and especially living in the West, you know, a person sometimes might struggle with their identity as a Muslim. They might struggle with, especially with the fitan that is out there today. But when the believer remembers his position in this world, and more importantly, their position in the next life, this gives them the izzah and the honor that is required, and it makes them be proud to be a Muslim living in this day and age, knowing that you're part of a nation which Allah Azza wa Jal makes exclusive in the next life with certain rewards. That is a motivation for us to keep going and pushing forward in this world when there's so much fitan that are trying to destroy our identity.
So you mentioned a beautiful point there, and I'd like to just to spend a second on it or two, or a minute or two, you know, the identity of a Muslim today. You know, it's a big battle out there. And you mentioned how this ummah has been specified with exclusive benefits in the next life, you can call it. And this should maybe enable us to raise our heads and be honored to be Muslims belonging to this ummah.
No.
And not to be ashamed to call yourself a Muslim and to be proud of your religion, especially living in the West.
No. Without a doubt, Sheikh, as we can see, in this day and age, there's a lot of identities that are being pushed forward.
Way too many. I've lost count.
There's no more letters in the alphabet left. Allah musta'an. So there's no doubt a lot of identities are being pushed. The Muslim needs to push his identity above and beyond everyone else, because it is without a doubt the greatest identity. For you to be a Muslim means that you carry that with pride. And when we say pride, it is not a word of arrogance. It is a word of honor. that the Muslim is honored above all other identities and above all other ways of life. For the Muslim has to teach himself, his children, his offspring, his community, that we should never ever be ashamed or feel inferior with the identity of Islam. No, this is the identity Allah has chosen. So it is only honored, and it is above and beyond any other type of false ideology and corruption that is spread throughout society.
And subhanAllah, the ayah just came to my mind, and I'm sure you're going to most likely allude to it in the upcoming episodes, and that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ, and he mentioned conditions after that, or the reasons why you are the best nation ever raised for mankind. And this is, pointing back to what we just mentioned before, you are the best nation.
No.
You, nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this should give us honor to raise our heads and be proud to be Muslim, to be part of the Muslim identity, the Muslim nation, sorry. Shaykh, let's get straight into it. Things which are exclusive for the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Islamic nation, the Muslim nation, in the next world.
Tayyib Shaykh, there's no doubt that the greatness of this ummah is linked to the greatness of its leader. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ummah special in the dunya and in the akhirah because its leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most special of creation. And because of Allah's love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this earned us, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's love. And that's proven through these few points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us as a ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he treats us in a special way. And that is an honor. That's enough of an honor to be attributed to the nation of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From those things, Shaykh, is that the ending of this ummah, from the mercy of Allah, is paradise. This ummah, the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its ending, from Allah's mercy, will always be paradise. And when we say this ummah, it means its believers. And we get this from the hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is not a nation except that some of them are in paradise and some are in hellfire, except this ummah of mine, it is in paradise. Subhanallah. For we know that this ummah will be shown so much rahmah and so much mercy in the next life that everyone, even the one who had an Adam's grain or an Adam's weight of Iman in his heart, even if they are punished for a period of time, they will eventually enter paradise. Oh, this is something Allah Azza wa Jal has given to this ummah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. And that is enough of a ni'mah and a blessing, that for you to be a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon correct tawheed and implementing what is required to be implemented, then you are safe, even if there is a punishment before. We ask Allah to protect us from his punishment entirely. Mm-hmm. But even if there is, you will still be safe, and you will not witness and face what others will face from an eternal punishment. Subhanallah. This in itself is a gift and an honor for this nation over others.
That is the greatest honor, to enter paradise, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should motivate us to work, to strengthen our belief, to be better believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and greater followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early generations. What's our next point, Sheikh?
The next point, Shaykh, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified this ummah by making it the mirror nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ummah the mirror nation and also the witness. He made this ummah the mirror nation, and he made it the witness. And we'll touch up on these two points bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This is taken from the verse where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he says, and we have made you a mirror nation in order to be witness over the people. We have made you a mirror nation in order to be a witness over the people. The first part is the mirror nation, a ummah which is wasat. And the wasat means the mirror. And the mirror is always the correct and the upright way in Islam. In Islam, the middle path is always the correct path. And what this refers to is that this ummah, the Islamic ummah, is the middle nation between other false religions. It is the middle religion between false religions. And the greatest example of that is putting Islam in the middle between the Jews and the Christians regarding the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. As an example, the Jews are known to have rejected and made filthy accusations against Isa alayhi salam. They completely rejected him and they hate him. Whereas the Christians went to the opposite extreme and they took Jesus as God or the Son of God, and they worshipped him. And then Islam came, and it did neither. It did not reject Isa alayhi salam the way the Yahud did, nor did it elevate him to the status of lordship. It said he is a prophet and a messenger of Allah. Islam is pure. Islam is the middle path. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal refers to by calling us a ummah which is wasat. It also teaches us that the best of affairs are the middle. It teaches us not to go extreme and excessive in any way. And this can even be applied within the realm and the fold of Islam between the other sects. Between all the sects, you find the truth to always be the middle path between the sects.
Like the Mushabbiha and the Mu'attila, for example.
Excellent
for those
example.
Following your Aqidah classes, Allahumma barik.
Barakallahu feek.
Every Tuesday night at Masjid Al-Azhar Bomo, after Maghrib.
After Maghrib.
During daylight savings time and after Isha in the non-daylight savings time. So after Ramadan, they'll resume after Isha. Upstairs, on top of Al-Bayan radio station, for those who don't know, Masjid Al-Azhar Bomo, please come and continue studying Aqidah with our beloved Sheikh Muhammad. As you have taught us many times, that the two extremes of the Mu'attila and the Mushabbiha and the Sunnah, the right Islamic way is in the middle there.
Definitely, that's right, Sheikh. That's a perfect example that we can give regarding Allah Azza wa Jal's names and attributes. You find the Mu'attila, those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, they go to one extreme where they deny Allah of the attributes that He has mentioned that He has. And then you have the Mushabbiha on the complete opposite side, who likened Allah's attributes to the creation. And then Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah came in the middle. And the middle path, meaning they affirm what Allah affirms for Himself. They do not deny what Allah affirms for Himself, but they also do not liken or compare Allah to His creation. They believe His attributes are befitting to Him only, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the middle path in this example, and there are many examples of the middle path of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah between all the other sects. So Allah praised the Ummah for being a middle path. He praised the Ummah for being a middle path. So that's something exclusive to us. We are, inshallah, the middle path. The middle path.
Sheikh, before you move on to the witnessing part of the ayah, now some translate the middle path as the moderate path. And the word moderate can even mean the middle path here in between the two extremes. But as we know today, there's basically a new meaning for moderate Muslim. And this is the meaning which is not intended. The moderate Muslim meaning the one who doesn't pray, drinks alcohol, eats whatever, no hijab, does whatever.
No.
And this is far from being the correct meaning of the middle path.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, Sheikh. And that's excellent. You brought up that point. Barakallahu fiqh. The moderate Muslim or the middle path is in no way referring to what you gave as an example, Sheikh. We have to understand that the enemies of Islam are many. And Islam gets attacked from many, many different types of ideologies, many different types of creeds, beliefs. And because Islam is so strong, walillahi alhamd, because it is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and it continues to be preserved in its pure essence, you find more enemies trying to attack in different ways. And this is one of the ways that they try to attack, by trying to water down Islam and to make Islam something that to paint an image that the good practicing Muslim is the one who has abandoned his religion, basically. And they call him the moderate. And the one that actually practices his religion the way it is required by Allah, he is considered to be the extreme Muslim. So this is a distorted understanding of what the middle path is, what extremism is even. We don't doubt that there is extremism in Islam, but extremism is not adhering to the book and the sunnah. Extremism in Islam is having a distorted understanding of Islam. This is what extremism is. As for the one who adheres to the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and holds on to them firmly, he is the true moderate Muslim. He is the true one that is on the middle path, without a doubt. And the one that you refer to that does not pray or whatever else, we consider him to be extreme, because he is extreme in his deviance.
Extremely negligent.
And in leniency. Yeah. Extreme in leniency, without a doubt.
What are the Lebanese say? Ba'ab al-marra? What in translation, what, he sold out? Or is
Allah
a sellout?
Mustan,
yeah, a sellout. It's not an accurate translation, but just
Allahumma mustan.
Sheikh, moving on to the witnessing nation, which Allah specified and favored this ummah with.
Naam. So in this same verse, Sheikh, Allah called the ummah the middle path, and he said, so that you may be a witness over the people. This part of the verse was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith. In the hadith, an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam will come on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is one of the special prophets. He's one of Ulul Azm, the top five of the Anbiya and the Rusul. And the reason for that is because he made a huge effort in calling his people to Islam. And we know, Sheikh, that the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he called to Allah his nation for how long? Approximately 1,000 years, 950 years, and so forth. For the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he gave da'wah and called to Allah for an amazing amount of time, a number that we cannot comprehend, 1,000 years. On the Day of Judgment, when Allah brings Nuh alayhi salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah asks Nuh a question. And he asks him, did you convey the message? Look, even Nuh alayhi salam is being questioned. And the Rusul get questioned over conveying the message. So Nuh alayhi salam, he answers Allah truthfully, of course, he's a messenger of Allah. And he says, yes, my Lord, I conveyed the message. So then Allah brings the nation of Nuh. And he asks them, did anyone convey the message to you? And the people, the majority of them, they rejected Nuh alayhi salam. And because now they are standing in front of Allah and the fear is in them, they lie. And they say, مَا جَاءَنَا مِن نَذِيرٍ. We did not receive any warning. This is after Nuh called his people for 950 or 1,000 years. His people deny it in the next life. And they say, nope, no one called us. So then Allah Azza wa Jal asks Nuh alayhi salam. And Allah, of course, knows best. Allah asks Nuh and he says, do you have anyone to testify that you conveyed the message? And then he says, yes, the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's revealed in our book, the story of Nuh and how he conveyed the message. So then Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then Muhammad and his nation will be brought to testify.
What amazing.
What amazing. This is something special for this Ummah, that we will testify in favor of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam over his people when they deny that he conveyed the message. Now, if we move on, Sheikh,
تفضل.
Allah barik feek.
Barak.
The next point, and I think we'll take one more for tonight.
Up to you, Sheikh. We got all the time.
Tayyib. The next thing that Allah Azza wa Jal has specified this ummah with is that he gives it more reward than any other nation through its lifespan. This nation is given more reward than any other nation according to lifespan. And its lifespan is the shortest. Subhanallah. Look how much Allah loves this nation. He made its lifespan the shortest. We don't live as long as the other nations. They all outlived us. But the reward that this nation gets is much greater than any of the other nations. Is that not an honor and a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal? And this is no doubt regarding the verse, يَخْتَصُّ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He specifies whoever he wants with his mercy. He chose this for this ummah, so he chose it for this ummah. This point, Sheikh, there's an amazing hadith. An amazing hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, how this nation receives more reward than any other nation. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the minbar saying, so this was something the Prophet ﷺ mentioned on the minbar. He said, the remaining period of your stay on earth in comparison to the nations before you is like the period between Asr and Maghrib. This ummah stay on earth compared to the others is like the time between Asr and Maghrib. So it's a very short time. Because we know the time from Fajr to Dhuhr is longer than Asr to Maghrib.
Right.
And we know the time from Dhuhr to Asr is generally longer than the time from Asr to Maghrib. So we have the shortest stay. And the Prophet ﷺ said that your stay is like the period between Asr and Maghrib. He then said the people of the Tawrat, meaning the Yahud, the people of the Tawrat were given the Tawrat. They acted upon it until Dhuhr. So the people of the Tawrat acted upon the Tawrat until Dhuhr. Then they got tired and they were given for their work one qirat. One gold. So this, the Prophet ﷺ is talking about the people of Musa. They worked, meaning they worshipped Allah up until midday, then they got tired. So for their work, Allah gave them one reward. Then the people of the Injil were given the Injil. And they acted upon it until Asr, which is a decent time. And then they got tired and Allah gave them one qirat. He said, and then you, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were given the Quran. And you acted upon it from Asr until Maghrib, meaning a shorter time. He said, and you were given two qirats in reward, double the reward. Then the people of the Torah, they complained. And they said to Allah, these people have done little work compared to us, but they have double the reward. So then Allah answers the people of the Torah and he says, have I withheld anything from your reward? meaning, have you not received your reward in full? And they say, yes, we have received our reward in full. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says to them, this is my favor, I bestow it on whoever I want. SubhanAllah. So this is something that Allah has gifted this ummah with. Yes, the lifespan is short, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my nation, its lifespan is between 60 and 70 years. Allahu Akbar, the people of the past nations used to live, look at Nuh Alayhi Salam, he called to Allah for 1,000 years. And they lived long. So a person might think they had a bigger opportunity to worship Allah. Yes, that's true, but Allah loves this nation so much that he has given it double the reward on top of the other previous nations. And inshallah, in our next segment, Sheikh, if Allah gives us life,
inshallah,
we can continue with a few other points.
Excellent, Sheikh. Barakallah fiqh for this amazing discussion where we discussed some of the exclusive things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah in the next world. And from them is that it's ending from the mercy of Allah, the paradise of this, the believers of this ummah will enter paradise. Allah also specified this ummah of, as being the middle path, the middle nation, and made this ummah witnesses over other nations. And finally, the Sheikh finished off with that this ummah will have more reward than any other nation in accordance to their lifespan, meaning the lifespan is shorter than other nations, but the reward is greater, as the Sheikh mentioned there. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh, for this very beneficial discussion. Inshallah, you'll be with us next week as well. Bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. We'd like to remind our listeners that we will be having many programs on Al-Bayan, so tune in. If you miss any programs, you can watch them on YouTube or listen to many of our audio recordings daily on our podcast channels. You can find them on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Podbean, and wherever you can find your wherever you find your podcast, just search Al-Bayan Radio. And also from April 6th until April 22nd, to after Eid, we'll be on 107.9 FM in Sydney, so please spread the word. And don't forget to get your Al-Bayan Radio calendar in your local ASWJ centres. Barakallahu feekum for being with us. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio